So we're going to study Maharal and Parshas Va'era. And though it's true, there's a lot in the Gerarya, but we're going to study from the Gvuras Hashem. Sefer Gvuras Hashem, Perek Shemoneh Ve'esrim. 28th Perek of Gvuras Hashem. And when Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I can't go to the Pharaoh, Lo yish dvarim anoichi, I'm not able to speak. He repeats that same idea in this week's parsha, in Va'era, when he says that I'm an aral svasayim. You know, aral svasayim means that something about my lips doesn't allow them to express that which is on my mind. That I have what to say. I know what to say. I'm an aral svasayim, meaning my lips are sealed. Aral always means something that holds back or contains and doesn't allow something to come out. So it's there. Moshe's thoughts are there. Moshe's desire to speak is there. And the message is with Moshe indeed, but to bring it out at svasayim, at his lips, he just can't. And the Maharal asks, why of all people should Moshe be in aral svasayim? What is the point? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's design? In the big picture, what is the master design of having Moshe, of all people, be the one who cannot express himself clearly and the words don't come easily out of his lips? They come perfectly to his mind. His mind and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, as we'll see, are so close. And as we learned in the past, Moshe Rabbeinu was of a completely, you know, different nature. His neshama was of a different kind. But why is it that he, of all people, should have a speech impediment? Yesh lahakshus Moshe shehoyot loikol ha-mailos va'af shlemus ha-guf. He was a powerful, physically tall and powerful person. Medrash says he would be able to put up the krushim, the large beams that comprised the walls of the Mishkan all by himself, and then build the Mishkan single-handedly. Right? And we always need help. Oh, yeah, you help me build my sukkah, I'll help you build yours. You know, he built the Mishkan up and down 7 times before the Miluim, before the Shemini Lemiluim, all by himself. So what is the nature of this, that he, of all people, should have a speech impediment? He was Shlemus HaKuf, K'mesha Amru al Kemasi, about his height, and in other ways, how could it be that he, of all people, cannot speak clearly? After all, being a great and complete person, being a person who has it all, would include being able to express himself clearly. Da, we should know. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was rachik min hachaymer, meaning he was very far removed from and very dissociated from anything of a physical, of a material kind. Moshe was of a spiritual nature. His mahus, his whole character, his very being was of a spiritual being. Though he was of flesh and blood. But what defined him was more than anything else, a pure spirit, a holiness, literally a godliness that was of him more than anything else was of him. He was rachak min hachemer, ve'ein koyach, bilti nivdal min hachemri, k'may hapeh v'haloshen. Of all the faculties of smell, sight, of hearing, of audition, all of them are very passive. The one that requires the most physical engagement, meaning it's bilti nivdal min hachamri, it's not detached from very great efforts of movement and articulation. Think about what it's like to speak one sentence. How many different movements of the mouth, of the tongue, of the teeth, of the palate, and then of the breath, pushing the air out. The whole process involves a tremendous amount of of detectable, obvious, conspicuous physical movement. But that's in the case of speech. Shekayach ha-ri'iya v'hashmiya, whereas to hear, to see, of course they are physical, and of course there are special organs of the body and cells in those organs and nerves that conduct and then transmit to the brain so that we experience sight and sound, but it's not with that movement, it's not with that physical aspect of so many movements and of a physical tongue that has to move a certain way and lips that have to open and close and teeth that have to be met by the tongue and so on and so forth. It's the most physical faculty of all the faculties. Speech involves more of that kind of physical movement than the other faculties do. They're without movement, rak b'menucha, rather passively. They accomplish what they do passively. B'menucha, meaning without movement. That is most similar to seichel, intellect, and spirit. That which is most physical requires movement and accomplishes its achievements through tenuah. Tenuah meaning movement. That's why koyach hadibur, being that great faculty, but one that's so dependent upon movement of the physical parts of the mouth and lips and tongue, Moshe, as someone so spiritual, was so attached to that aspect of non-physicality that there, where he would normally be able to have perfect speech because he was the Mushlam, no. He is so spiritually and defined by spirit, so spiritually attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the faculty of speech, because it is the most physically dependent faculty, in his case, was weakest in expression of the fact, in manifestation of the fact that he was so otherworldly. Now, he's going to go on to say that specifically it is at the mouth, and it's that faculty of speech that actually represents the coming together of the soul and the intellect and the body.
I guess also the reason why he's for his speech, but he was the teacher of Torah for us. Torah is not the physical.
Torah is not physical, of course. And that's why he had to be, as we learned last week, because he was that, intermediary between Hashem and Shemayim and people here on earth. He had the character of Isha Elikim and was not of the typical kind of human being, as we saw, and it's for that reason that the Torah doesn't even mention who his mother was. Not that he didn't have a mother, of course he had a biological mother, but the name of Yocheved doesn't appear until after he is born, for that reason. And we'll skip three lines. The second part of this citation, number two, Ki adibur ba'atzmoy ein safek kevin shehu al yedei tenua hu pael gashmi. Speech is a physical accomplishment. Avol hu al yedei seichel. But it's with your mind. Sheyodei letzaref adibur. Knowing how to put the idea into words. And then how to express those words. So what he's now saying is as follows. There is nothing that is as much of both the seichel, the intellect, and of the guf of the body, as speech. Because speech requires so much of the movement and the fine motions and movements of the speech of a person as he tries to speak, using so much of the physical movements. But in order to know what to say and to choose your words, to have the idea, of course that's all intellectual. So that is the perfect combination of what is sichli on the one hand and gufni on the other. There's no other part of the body or aspect of human life. There's nothing else that we do that is characterized so perfectly by both being dependent upon the guf and yet also at the same time as much so dependent on the seichel. Look at a child. Look at a small child. Child can make every sound, but it's babble because the seichel of the child has not yet developed sufficiently to articulate what the child. Now, when the child wants something and the child does not yet know how to say, "I am thirsty," the child is wailing. And then the child's going, blah, 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 making all kinds of noises. And what? Until finally, the child might learn crudely how to say water or wawa, right? Or the child is used to and has heard from the parents the word bottle, baby bottle. So eventually the child will learn how to say bottle, but it takes a long time. So a child is the perfect example of how you can have this fantastic mind on the one hand, or a fantastic ability to articulate on the other, but if you don't put them together, if they don't connect and come together, well, then you're not going to have clear speech. Moshe had the perfect mind, the mind closest to Hashem's mind. For that reason, the physical mouth was not given to Moshe, because that's not the emphasis of who and what Moshe is. The opposite case is, of course, you know, there where you have a child who can make all kinds of sounds, but they don't come together correctly because seichel has not yet been developed. Let's continue. Yachseloi tzir of haloshin, the child doesn't have the ability to put together the idea and the articulation of the words. V'lohoy l'moshe chaser elo chituch hadibur. Moshe, on the other hand, is just not granted that physical koach, that physical ability to enunciate clearly, but that's because it is certainly poel gashmi. That's a physical accomplishment. Understanding this, we understand the famous Gemara in Hamapelas. Kishavlad yotzi laavir haolam ba malach satro al piv mishacheach mimenu kol hatayra. Famously, we know a baby, as it's being born, is, so to speak, touched by the malach on his lips and forgets all the Torah that the neshama once was able to know and grasp in utero. Lama amru satra bit alpiv. What's the point of touching the mouth? Mouth is just merely an instrument to speak. If you forget, that would be cerebrally, right? Touch him on the head. Ki hu ze asher amarnu lecha. Ki hapeh shenase boi odom chai medaber gashmi hu mishakech mimenu kol ha-Torah. It's the physical aspect that the child gains when being born. Right? Child's not part of this world until the child is born. It's physically, he's a fetus. But he's not an independent human being until the child is born. When the child is born, it comes out into the world. Now the child has his own definition as a physical being that is so powerful that it overtakes his entire definition and he becomes physical but loses and is now bereft of all of the neshama, so to speak, not that he loses neshama, all of the gains of the neshama that had been made, all of the sikhli that had been accomplished before coming into the gashmi is lost. And why on the mouth? Because that mouth is where the gashmi and the sichli meet. This expression, when Chazal say that the child is touched by an angel on the lips, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that the child is physically touched. It means that there where a person's guf and seichel meet, there that child experiences the switch over from being all sichli to becoming only gashmi. And now he's going to have to gain back everything that had been lost at that moment. All the Torah he's learned, all the understanding, meaning all of the association with the holiness of Hashem Yisbarach himself, the world of Neshamos. Now that you're inside a guf, go ahead, work hard, gain it back. That's the challenge of a human life. Lama amru sachi alpiv ki hu ze asher amanu lucha ki hapeh she naase bo odom chay medaber gashmi hu. Hu mishakeach mimenu kol ha-Torah. It's that mouth, which is so gashmi. The chay medaber gashmi is why? He's a gashmi because of why? Or of what? Because of his mouth. Being a chay medaber means that you're a living, thinking being, capable of speech. Or capable of speech means you're able to combine the best of the seichel and the guf. The moment the child is born, that power of the seichel is taken away and the child is charged with regaining it Emir Tzashem with the rest and throughout the rest of his life. Peter Zeki Ha'adam is Schaber Bo HaNeshama El HaChemer. Man is that being where tremendous neshama, tremendous soul aspect combine with and become one in the same physical body which no other creature has. Bavur She'ena Neshama HaSichlas Mechuber Bo HaChemer. Because the neshama is not connected to the body with definition as being one, the hainu, meaning before being born, az neshmas in nivdelas, neshama is pristine. Vaz he sichlis legamri. Before being born, the whole, the human being is entirely of a spiritual nature, and so that perfect nature is where Torah is naturally learned, meaning where Torah inheres naturally, where Torah is associated with naturally. But then when the baby is born, now the neshama and the guf become one. Nasa adam chay medaber gashmi. Now the person gains this physicality. That is what causes him to forget. What causes him to forget all the Torah, meaning to become lost or bereft of all of the spiritual knowledge, spiritual sense that once surrounded the child, that once was part of the child, what causes that to leave is the very physicality of his new being. His new being is so much of the physical nature that it is mishakech, meaning it causes the removal of all of that which was his zichli character up until that moment. And then he goes on to say, of course, the famous Targum Unclus, that when man became Nefesh Chaya, as the words of the Torah have it, Unclus says, Leruach Memalala, meaning a spirit that expresses, Memalala, a Ruach that expresses itself, that speaks, speaking spiritual being. That's the perfect combination of the Seichel and the Guf. Ki Ha'adam, Tzurasa Chibur, Tzurasa meaning the entire form of man is Chibur HaNeshama HaSichlis VaHaGuf BiYachad. The coming together of and the combining into one of the neshama, that's seichel, and of the guf, that's the body. The fact that you are made into a speaking being, that's definitive. That's where you become a man. Because as the Torah says, that Adam became Nefesh Chaya, and Targum says Ruach Memalula, that indicates to us that that makes you uniquely a man, a human being. V'chozman shehu bebeten ima, but while still in utero, in mother's womb, ein loy Ruach Memalula. You don't have that combination of the Seichel and the Guf, ad shehu yoytzel avir ha'olam. V'hakozois, this that the Gemara says, hakah, you know, the striking on the lips. Shehu makah al piv, ratzalem gmar tzurasa. Nikra ze hakah al piv, ki kain gmar tzur shel kli nikra makah bepatish. Beautiful idea. Chazal term the last strike of a hammer or of whatever instrument you use to complete something, anything that you create, and you put that last little mark, maybe it's the stamp on it that, you know, coins it, as we said, that stamps it, that gives it its final character, ready to be sold, ready to be used. It's called Makeh B'Patish. It's one of the Lamedes Melachos of Shabbos. During that, which brings the thing finally into completion, and now it becomes a usable item. So that even if it's not necessarily otherwise something that you would call a malacha, but if that's what causes it to be now a usable item, it's Makeh B'Patish. That has its own flavor to it. It doesn't have to be any one of the other malachas, because that's what makes it into a, or whatever it is, a pen, a pot, a pair of glasses, a shirt, a pair of shoes, a computer, whatever it is, that's the Makeh B'Patish, right? So, the Makeh B'Patish of a man, of every one of us, is when we are born and we now have the combination of Seichel and Guf. It's called Hakol, that the Malach does a strike, a Makeh, not because he physically hits the child. It's called Hakol because that's the Makeh B'Patish through which a human being becomes a human being. The Makeh B'Patish, the final last stroke that causes us to be a human being as a Kadosh Baruch who created Adam, is when we are born and our faculty of the speech and of the mind come together in one person who has Seichel and Guf. And at that moment, the Makeh B'Patish of the formation of a human being takes place. That's why when the Malach strikes the baby on the lips, so to speak, it's called Hakah, because it's the Makeh B'Patish of creating a human life. That's where the koyach to speak is, at the mouth. So because the koyach to speak and express thoughts is so uniquely human and comes to us when we are born, then has to be developed, because you have to learn how to develop your seichel and then express yourself. So that moment of birth is the moment described therefore as the hakah b'piv, because the makah b'patish in the creation of a human being is that moment when his ability to express himself, meaning his physical body, comes together with his neshama for the challenge of life's journey. Skipping down a little bit to that last part of this citation, getting back to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'kasher Moshe hayu nivdol b'ma'aloso, because Moshe was nivdol b'ma'aloso, lo hayu noita el hagashmi, he was not at all physical. Noita el hagashmi means that his whole flavor of who and what he is, the whole sense of his being, was not of a physical kind. Ki im el mala hanifdelis, but rather being otherworldly, mala hanifdelis meaning being non-physical. Therefore, haya chaser gmar patish zeh. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that last stamp, we used to call it a stempel, didn't have that last hakah, the way all of us do, where you are physical. Now go out, set forth in life and learn how to understand godly matters, how to relate to them, how to incorporate them into your being and then express them. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have that hakah, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was from the get-go of such a spiritual kind that he was above that process, beyond that process of the hakah on the lips. But that's also coming along with not having the physical strengths of the typical mouth and tongue, meaning it does not jive with Moshe to be of that kind of person who can express and who can speak, who can articulate every thought and every word enunciated so clearly. Of course, Moshe, quote unquote, knew what to say better than anyone else, but it's so much of a physical act that it was not within his nature to speak, to articulate, to use the tongue and the mouth and the teeth that much. Aral here is implying that Moshe knew all of the Torah as a child. Knew all of the Torah. Yada kol haTorah. Meaning, if not literally the Torah as you and I understand it, but had some kind of a connection with Torah and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that none of us can really understand, but that also no other human being ever had. The Pasuk says he's just a little bit shy of being like Hashem himself. That's why he does not have that power of speech, the power of the tongue and cheek and lip. We have to understand this well. It's something that is davar barur, something very fine and yet something very clear. And Moshe Rabbeinu is of such a spiritual nature that speech is, you know, something beneath him. He doesn't use that word. He doesn't say it, you know, in those words. That's the idea. The emphasis of Moshe's being is of such a spiritual kind, and that the faculty of speech being what it is, the most physical of all of the faculties and all of the senses. Therefore, that was where Moshe would not predominate. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu now telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just, I don't know how to speak or I don't speak clearly. He's saying that for me, speech is something that I'm not destined to be all about because I'm of a spiritual character. So the message back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to, but that Moshe Rabbeinu is not intended by design to speak clearly, because speech involves so much of the physical rather than the spiritual intellectual.